our NDTV campaign Save Our Daughters, just after three back-to-back incidents of violence against women. The first one, of course, in Bengaluru, where a young girl was stabbed to death by a man who entered her paying guest apartment, and the brutal murder was caught on camera. The accused has been arrested, but larger questions on the safety and security of paying guest apartments and hostels across the country. The second gruesome incident that took place in Navi Mumbai, where a lover threw the body of his girlfriend allegedly in the bushes after brutally murdering her. And in this case, the accused is yet to be arrested. And the third case from the national capital, where a minor girl was hurled to the ground. She was in the sense flung off the roof after there was some sort of an altercation over a property issue. And in this case, the victim is under treatment. The fact of the matter is that our metros have turned into crime capitals, and accountability needs to be fixed immediately as far as women's safety is concerned. Has there just been lip service? That is a big question. Joining me on the show this evening, Ramakrishna Upadhyay, senior journalist from Karnataka, is with us. Also, Sanjay Sahai, former additional DGP of Karnataka. Brinda Adige, prominent social and women's rights activist, is with us as well, and Kapil Madan, advocate of the High Court. Thanks all very much for being with us. Brinda Adige, going across to you first. We were just having this conversation yesterday as well, that accountability needs to be fixed at so many levels. But sort of narrowing the focus down to just paying guest apartments and hostels across the country where all these students, women who come from far-off cities, they live, they put up here. But the fact is that there was not even a security guard present at the Bengaluru paying guest apartment where this murder took place. So they need to be brought, you know, under the ambit of the police in some way or the other.
Absolutely. Ambit of the police and ambit of the municipal council also. Because we are looking at a place called like a PG, which is earning some kind of a money. And they have to, like shops and establishments, they must also be brought under such an ambit where they have to follow through with some compliance. And we know that if you're going to have a school or you're going to build a college and you have a place like a hostel, then you have to take the required permissions, whether it is from the fire department or from the pollution control board. So some, all of these have to be brought under the ambit of the various departments. So it should be the police as well as the Shops and Establishments Act. Somehow it should be brought under that. If nothing else, the act can't be amended immediately, but at least as an ordinance, the governments must bring in something like this. Only then would there be some form of accountability. Hopefully, we are again telling and thinking that there would be no corruption, because we know that all of these departments have a lot of official complicity and there is corruption. And they might give you any kind of a certificate. But knowing that people's lives, especially women's lives, women who come out either to study or to work, leaving their hometowns in search of a place which is safe to stay away from their families, the government has the primary responsibility to be accountable and extend that safety and protection and not place the burden on women.
There are several important points there. Sanjay Sahai, would you like to come in on this? Because what Brinda Adige seems to suggest is that when PGs and hostels, private hostels, are not registered with the local government or with the police, then, you know, it leaves absolute ambiguity. I mean, there was no security guard. And these constantly, you know, these buildings and these paying guest apartments and hostels, they constantly violate the law of the land and norms that need to be upheld.
See, the paying guest today has become an illegal sort of an industry, and the amount of money which it churns out is phenomenal. So that being the case, most of the laws which are completely flouted, and if you really want to crack the whip without getting into all the detailing of it, which most of us have been talking about for the last couple of days, I think we should start with the regulator straight away. And in that, first you take up 100 PG accommodation for women in Bangalore, audit them and who are not complying. So they should be brought to the book and criminal action should be taken. What Brinda Adige was saying is the criminal caucus which operates and the way the certificates are provided. So everything is taken care on paper and actually nothing happens on the ground. is an unregulated industry. It needs to be regulated, and there has to be technical specifications for cameras and a variety of other things. We have been talking of Digital India. We have also been talking of artificial intelligence. These cameras can be put with artificial intelligence, and any violence, assault and things of that nature, which can be communicated to the control room. All these cameras needs to be connected into one central mechanism. Otherwise, nothing important is going to come out of it. So broadly, this unregulated industry has to be brought under regulation, and the regulators have to be taken to task. If there is no security cover in that area, why there is no security cover? And lo and behold, the private security people who are there, they are not trained. They are not trained to be first responders. They literally are not trained for anything and everything and of the nature of incidents which are happening. So broadly, we are in a situation where we are trying to look for quick fix. And government generally is the same. You book a case against the proprietor, do the lip service, and actually nothing happens on the ground. And even with this nature of awareness campaign, which is happening all across the social media, print media, and the electronic media. If you go on the ground, I don't think anything much would have changed. So the whip has to be cracked. The main culprit are the regulators. I keep on repeating, the main culprit are the regulators. In the Delhi case, you see it the...
As in the law enforcers.
Yeah, law enforcers. Regulators means anybody who is giving permission, who is giving approval, who is auditing, who is inspecting. From where does he get the non-objection certificate? From where does he get all the clearance? What is criminality?
Important point you're making, because the Delhi police as well, and you know, we've seen courts across states sort of emphasize on the point that we need to regulate paying guest apartments, we need to regulate private hospitals, because it is a sort of a grey area. As Mr. Sahai was also pointing out, that they operate as residential buildings, and then of course there are commercial activities, so it's a grey area, and they need to be regulated. Yes. Kapil Madan, come in on the point that, let's broaden the scope of the discussion to also look at the role of the courts, because we have seen that often enough the issue of fast-track courts and fast-tracking cases, that is something that is emphasized. But we see cases after cases, they lie pending in courts and justice is delayed. So, you know, how do we ensure that cases of violence against women are fast-tracked, and there is a verdict, in a sort of a timeline of mandated way?
Let me give you a very interesting fact. You'll be very surprised, because I was very surprised when I got to know this. You will be surprised to know that police officers in Delhi, at least, they do duties, continuous duty, is for 36 hours, sometimes 48 hours. When you have that kind of workload on the police officers, I mean, the mistakes during investigation, mistakes during when they prepare the charge sheet, when they collect evidence, it is bound to happen. Now, you have to see why you have, abysmally low conviction rate in India. That's precisely the reason, because our police is extremely, extremely overburdened. And sometimes, during the process of investigation, they do commit some procedural lapses, which the defense takes, a benefit of, and, punches hole in the theory created by the prosecution. So I think we need a little more, training insofar as police officers are concerned. And we should be a little kinder to them. They should be, doing shorter duties so that they are able to perform better.
Those are two important points. Legal loopholes are often exploited. In fact, that's what we saw in the Nirbhaya case as well. This loophole of the mercy petition, how that sort of delayed the case endlessly. But Ramakrishna Upadhyay, looking at the role of the media as well, as far as cases of violence against women are concerned, the case that we saw in Mumbai, for example, how a lunatic lover killed his girlfriend and dumped the body in the bushes. A grim reminder of the Shraddha Walkar case as well. In cases like this, how do we ensure sensitive reportage? Because ultimately, forming the right perception and pinning accountability, these are two important things when it comes to reportage of sensitive cases like violence against women. But how do we ensure that our terminology also changes? Because we need, as a society, need to set the right precedent. We've seen time and again how these crimes are often called crimes of passion. know, so we need to move away from this.
Vedant, I definitely agree with you. I think there is so much of competition within the media to be first, you know, covering these incidents that sometimes they tend to go overboard. But it's also a fact that, you know, thanks to the media coverage, the authorities also, you know, become more aware of the problems and cannot be denied. But as you said, I think there's a need for, you know, having some kind of a code of conduct in covering these events, because you need to ensure that the privacy of the individuals and the families are protected. I'm on a different point. I want to point out, you see, the CCTV cameras and the now the tracking of the mobiles are really helping the police to quickly nab the culprits. That's a good thing that is happening. But more important is to prevent this incident from happening. So that is where there is a big lacuna. You know, see, we saw last week the finance minister presented in the central budget a huge plan for creation of more jobs across the country. I mean, they're talking about spending something like 3 lakh crores on various scholarships, bringing in 500 global companies into job schemes and all that. So which means that there is...
Okay, so we seem to have lost that line with Mr. Padhya there. We'll try and... Yes, go ahead, Mr. Padhya.
Hello.
You're back with us.
So, you know, there is bound to be more PGs, more, you know, hostels being created, you know, once these schemes are implemented. So right now we need to ensure, as the other panelists were saying, that there is some kind of a, you know, discipline brought into the system. There is no system of, you know, licensing there. They're just functioning without any kind of a license, from the civic authorities. It's all an arrangement between the local police and the PG holder who's running it.
So several important points there, and as other panelists have also pointed out, that we need to regulate, because we can't stop the mushrooming of hostels and paying guest apartments, etc. But Brinda Adiga, something that we're discussing yesterday as well, the nature of all the three crimes that that we're looking at, whether it was what happened in Delhi, Mumbai or Bengaluru, the glaring nature of the crimes, whether it was a man dumping the body in the bushes, whether it was a man attacking a minor girl in broad daylight in a busy area, you know, here in the national capital, or whether it was in Bengaluru where it happened at the paying guest apartment, inside the paying guest apartment, there is a sense that you can commit a crime of this nature and get away with it.
You're absolutely right. That is what we have been seeing, hearing, and that is the message that is coming across strongly from courts. Where have we seen the courts actually deliver justice as per the crime? They always find fault. Mr. Kapil was saying that the police are overworked, but we know that there is no need for that overwork to be done, to be the excuse. The government's job is to fill those vacancies. But that said, what the Bangalore police did in the last 4 days is to get that guy from Madhya Pradesh and produce him in court over here. That is an excellent, fantastic job. So if the police want, they can do it. And what we want to now tell them is, you have to build a watertight case. Present the case in court. The court, the judges, the magistrates also have a responsibility. They cannot sit on a high horse and find procedural lapses and say, so now so-and-so is acquitted.
Okay.
Why are we not holding the courts responsible?
Okay, that's
Why
a fair point there. And I'm afraid I only have enough time for quick closing comments from all of you. Kapil Madan, would you like to begin?
So I'll just give a very interesting fact here. So we have about 21 judges only per million of our population. I mean, that's absolutely low number. And let me also give you an example. If you see jurisdiction like US, once the trial starts there, trial happens continuously day to day and the matter ends.
Yes.
Now in India, what happens is that, once the trial starts, you have, no system, though the provision provides, but the court are again so overburdened that they are in no position to hold a day to day trial, which causes, lapses. The witnesses forget what they have said.
So the police are overworked, and so are the courts, which is why,
yes,
the fast-tracking of cases almost sort of becomes an impossibility. Sanjay Sahai, your quick closing comments. Also, looking at this sort of bystander syndrome that we see when it comes to India as well, that nobody is willing to intervene. In the case from Delhi, this happened in broad daylight in a busy locality and nobody intervened.
So nobody is ready to intervene is one part of the story, and being a good Samaritan, and that should be the culture of this country. That I all accept. But your regulator themselves are bystanders. That's the biggest joke. Hmm. And police have been being overworked. I don't subscribe to that theory. It is the expertise which is lacking. If the expertise is there, and primarily of scientific investigation, that will take us places. As per the Nirbhaya project spending, 734 crores have been spent for fast track special courts. If 734 crores have been spent, where are the courts? And why there is no strict timeline with regards to the cases being decided? If they see, the predictability of justice is more important than the quantum of punishment. So the predictability is lost, and impunity has really hit the DNA of the criminal.
That's if a very important point. Hits there. The DNA of the impunity is extremely important. Mr. Padhyay, I just have 30 seconds left on the debate.
No, I just want to make one point. You know, in the short term, what we need to do is, you know, improve the security in these PGs and hospitals. You see, Kriti wouldn't have been killed, you know, so brazenly if there was at least a security man. Most of these PGs don't have, you know, full-time security people. They don't have 24/7. It's only one person who's there either in the morning or the night in most places. That is one thing which has to be filled immediately.
Right.
The immediate task should be for all the, you know, civic authorities to ensure the PGs have 24-bar security. Number two, the women's wing of the, you know, hostels should be secure. Nobody should be able to enter very freely. Look at the way this man walked in, and then he was able to commit this murder.
Yes.
So there has to be some kind of, you know, securing those places. Thirdly, I would say there should be an alarm system. Every room should contain an alarm so that, you know, the person concerned who's an attack can set off an alarm.
So there's some sort of an SOS response there. That's a good suggestion, and I hope authorities take note of that. I'm afraid I'm completely running out of time, but thanks all very much for being with us. This remains our top focus in NDTV campaign. We put the spotlight back on women's safety. With that, we'll slip into a short break now. Thanks so much for watching. Good night.